Could you turn with me, please, to Psalm 139? A few thoughts that have come before one in this psalm I'd like to share with you this afternoon. We've already had reference to this psalm, verses 15 and 16, but I'd like to read the entire psalm. Psalm 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This appears to be a very searching psalm. The psalm begins with searching. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Does that strike terror into your soul? Is the thought of God searching you and me that which we would consider to be very undesirable? Well, if we didn't know God, if you don't know Him this afternoon, I believe it is a terrible thought. But you know, here the psalmist says, Thou hast known me. And God knows me this afternoon. He knows you. He knows what wretched beggars of the dunghill we have been. And we have read about our condition apart from God there in Ephesians 2. How that we are controlled by the power of Satan. And walking in disobedience according to the course of this world. And then too, we have thought of how that we were once dead in trespasses and in sins. What an awful condition. And God knows all about it. But I'm here this afternoon to tell you, and I know others can join with me and say, He knows me, but I know Him. You know, dear ones, it's wonderful to be acquainted with the God of the universe, the God of whom we've been hearing this afternoon, the one who desires your blessing and mine. And even though He would search us and see what we are by nature, wonderful to realize that God is a God of grace. And He has made every provision so that you and I can be cleansed from our sin and be made perfectly fit to sit in His holy presence. How wonderful it is to know God. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to enjoy peace. And to know that all is well for time and for eternity. Is there somebody here this afternoon who's a stranger to this wonderful God of whom we are speaking? Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. And thereby good shall come unto thee. Here we find David being searched. Thou hast searched me and known me. Does he resent the searching? Well, when we come to the end of the chapter, notice what he says, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I believe David was a man after God's own heart because David, he lived in the enjoyment of God's mercy. And he could speak of how that God, He was plenteous in mercy and ready to forgive. One who is gracious, David knew God. And I believe you and I, we ought to know Him in a more fuller way than David because He has revealed Himself to us in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful to consider that we know God through the person of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus. That blessed one who perfectly fulfilled the will of the Father, glorified Him in life, but also in death, demonstrated His love for the Father, but also His love for you and me, the Son of God, who laid down His life. No greater love has a man than this. And so we find that David's desire is that he might be searched, so that if there was anything that would hinder his enjoyment of fellowship with God, it might be judged in order that there might be perfect joy, happiness. We've been speaking about that fellowship with the Father, the Apostle John could say there's no greater joy than this, to enjoy fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This afternoon, is it your desire, is it mine, that the Lord would search our hearts so that if there is that which is offensive, He might enable us to judge that in order that we might walk with Him in the enjoyment of His company. We know He does walk with us, but are we in the enjoyment of His companionship? You know, this is a beautiful psalm. I believe it simply divides itself into four sections of six verses each. I really enjoyed this thought. You know, the first six verses, could we say, present to us God as the one who is omniscient. Big word, simply means all-knowing. And so we find here, God is omniscient. In the next six verses, we have God as the one who is omnipresent. Another big word, but it simply means all-present or ever-present. The next six verses, we find God as the one who is omniscient, all-powerful. And then the last six verses, I believe, is the psalmist's reaction to this wonderful knowledge of God. Well, here David, he says, Thou knowest my down sitting in verse 2, and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Here we have God understanding our thought. In verse 3, our actions, He knows all about them. And in verse 4, our words. Our thoughts, our actions, our words, nothing is hid from the Lord. He sees us sitting down here this afternoon, it tells us in verse 2. And I believe it delights His heart to see those that are sitting down here in their seats, because your desire is to hear the Word of God. Your desire is to, with others of like precious faith, worship the Lord and to come together to express our dependence on Him in prayer. He sees this. He values it. But you know, perhaps, and I speak to myself as much as to anyone else, there are times when we are sitting in places that perhaps God would not find His delight in. Well, it's a searching thought that God sees where we sit. And in Psalm 1, the psalmist, he says there, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you didn't feel comfortable because you know the Lord would never leave you nor forsake you, but you knew the Lord wasn't happy where you were sitting? You were sitting in the seat of the scornful. Among those that would ridicule your Savior. Oh, dear ones, might we watch our down sitting. And here, God sees our uprising. And then, too, He understands our thoughts afar off. We've had in this conference how that the mind is that which I believe can become the plaything of the enemy. The mind. We had read to us, I believe it was from 2 Corinthians, where the apostle, he was concerned that the saints, their minds would be corrupted and they would be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, this is what the enemy would seek to do, to corrupt our minds with the thoughts of men, vain philosophy, anything but Christ. We used to hold meetings in a nursing home, and the activity director in that nursing home, I'm sorry to say, he was a skeptic, perhaps I should say an infidel. He really had no appreciation for the gospel, even though for a time we were allowed to hold meetings in that place. But he told me, he said, "You've been speaking about John 3:16, and he said, "That may be all right for you, but," he said, "that's too simple." He said, "I can't accept that." And so it is that man today, he is seeking, I believe, to exalt the intellect, and it's taking him farther away from the truth of God and the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, may we desire that our minds would be controlled by the Lord, that, you know, we might cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is the happy path. And the Lord, this afternoon, he looks right down into your brain and he sees your thoughts and he knows them from afar off. Well, he's acquainted with our ways. He sees our actions. And then there are the words. And it says, "There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." You know, it only takes one word to spoil a lovely situation, to shatter a beautiful picture. Just a wrong word. And we need to be careful, don't we, about our words. I believe our words, they can be health to the bones, but then too, they can be like the piercing of a sword. Our words. May the meditation of our heart and the words of our mouth be acceptable to the Lord. Well, I believe our words really are the index of our heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. We betray, I believe, what's in our hearts by our words. Something to consider. Well, then he goes on and speaks of the fact that the Lord is with us wherever. Verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence?" And so on. You can't go anywhere but what he is there. But why would you want to flee from his presence? Dear ones, in his presence is fullness of joy. Why would we want to flee from fullness of joy? Oh, what a precious Savior we have. And heaven will be what it is because Jesus is there. I distinctly remember I was in a 10th grade world history class, and the instructor, he was rather a flippant type of person, had really no concern, I believe, for the things of God, but he did ask the question. He said, "Now what is it that'll make heaven so wonderful? Is it going to be ice cream cones passed around up there?" You know, everybody just sat in the class real quiet. Nobody made a move. And all of a sudden, the girl sitting right next to me, she put up her hand, and she just said, "It'll be because Jesus is there. That's what's going to make it so wonderful." You know, that was a word to my conscience as well as to my heart. Oh, my heart was warmed up. But my conscience told me I should have put up my hand first. That was a wonderful confession that she made. You know, dear ones, we can enjoy the days of heaven right here upon earth, because here we find that the Lord is with us, wherever we might be, and we can enjoy His companionship. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. You know, we look about and we see the world, it just seems to be getting worse and worse. And you read the newspaper and it's filled with murder and corruption, immorality and all sorts of violence. It's just a terrible description of condition of things about us. And we might think, well, we're going to be just overwhelmed by the darkness. But notice what we have here. It's beautiful. Even the night shall be light about me. Isn't that wonderful? Even in the midst of the condition of things in the world this afternoon, we can enjoy the light of heaven, the glory of His presence. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Oh, may we find comfort in God and His Word. It is that which will support us, illuminate our pathway. I remember seeing a display one time, I think it was set up at the high school, and here were these various pieces of equipment that the soldiers used in their military endeavors, and they had this pair of goggles. I never had seen anything like this, but apparently you could put on these goggles, and even at night, they would allow you to see quite a distance through the darkness. I thought that'd be interesting to be able to try those goggles. Well, you know, dear ones, this book I hold in my hands are the goggles for you and for me during the night of this world. The power of the darkness, it's great. But oh, wonderful to realize we've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And through this blessed book, we can enjoy light in our souls. The entrance of His Word, it gives light. And we can have direction. Well, then we go on and we find that God is omniscient in connection with creation. And the very fact that you and I are here this afternoon, it's the work of God. What a miracle to consider how He could put Adam together out of the dust of the ground and then breathe into his nostrils the breath of life. He becomes a living soul. And here we are, part of Adam's race. God is indeed the Creator. He is the one that is all-powerful. And I suppose, as has been brought out, we do have perhaps a reference to the church in His thoughts, even before the world came into existence, verses 15 and 16. Well, the psalmist here, you know, he says these thoughts in verse 17, they're precious. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And so we find that the psalmist is in the enjoyment of God's goodness. You know, David, he could say he would have fainted unless he had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Well, he saw it, didn't he? Here we are in the land of the dying. We too can enjoy the goodness of God. May we ever keep ourselves in the love of God. And if there is something in our lives that would hinder our enjoyment of His love, of His person and fellowship, may our prayer be as that of David of old. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the happy path to go God's way.